Hey friends, you're listening to Go Home Bob or You're Drunk, an Irreverent Media podcast.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is not the sound of a stream running through the mountains. It's water from a leaking pipe trickling down a stairway. That's not a frog splashing into a lake. It's a piece of sheetrock falling into a puddle on a kitchen floor. And that's not a hiker taking a deep breath of mountain air. It's a homeowner gasping at the sight of a $12,000 water damage repair bill. 40% of homeowners have experienced water damage. Protect your home with the Moen Smart Water Monitor and Shutoff. Moen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Go Home, Bob, You're Drunk, the podcast where we talk about the Bible and sometimes get drunk. My name is Justin. I was a former pastor for many years. Now I am just a man on the internet with a microphone. And I also have a podcast host that does this with me.
Hi, I'm Tori. I was also an evangelical for many years of my own volition after having been raised in all of that nonsense. So, yeah, it's really kind of fun to go back and read the Bible and try to figure out what the fuck was happening because they were trying to take it literally. And when you do that, it doesn't make any sense. So here we are.
Yeah. So normally we do like a This Week in Evangelicalism where we cover a news story. Sometimes we kind of mix up that format. And I think this week it just, you know, kind of been a heavy week for some people, and that's fine. So I thought we would do maybe a segment, and I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if you all know this, but we don't like usually have a script going into this. We have a rough outline. We have a rough outline, and we do pretty well with that. Some weeks the outline's rougher than others. But I thought we would do, wait, I don't know. I probably messed that up.
Are we talking about how you got faux canceled by Brian Suave, are we doing hot pizza takes?
Yes, we're doing all of that. See, I thought we would name this subject shit white people are mad at on the internet. And
my culture.
Yeah, my culture. So we have a good friend of the pod. I'll plug that. Can I say their name?
I'll say that.
Portland Coffee. Wonderful friend of the pod. Hasn't been on the pod, but they're a friend of the pod.
We need to fix this.
We should fix this. So I was able to meet Cortland and Megan as well. They do. I'm just going to plug them. I'm just going to do it right now.
100%. All of it.
They do the Thereafter podcast, which is a great podcast. And they interview folks that have gone through faith transitions and shifts and stuff. Wonderful podcast. You should listen to it. And Cortland, he had a take on the internet about a particular restaurant. It was like one of those meme formats. So the meme format was basically, let's go Brandon is code for blank. And then you would fill it in the blank. I did mine. Mine was, let's go Brandon is code for I have an honorary degree from PragerU. That was mine.
Oh, okay. Keep going. I can't think about this. Keep going.
But our friend Cortland said, let's go Brandon is code for, I think Olive Garden is a fancy restaurant or something like that. He deleted the tweet. And there were, and you know, I do realize that there could be some classist overtones to that, maybe, but
the entire meme format is fundamentally classist.
But I mean, there were
You seen the cars that those bumper stickers are on? Like anything making fun of those people is classist.
Pretty much. Like, and obviously you have to be careful. We could get canceled for what we're about to talk about, but I'm just going to throw it out there because the responses to me were like, essentially you are by mocking Olive Garden. You are mocking my culture. Like, And
who will defend the poor whites?
The poor whites that go to Olive Garden. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to burst a bubble right now. Olive Garden never was fancy. Like, I'm just, it might be a nice restaurant to you and it's something you enjoy. Totally. I'm not going to yuck your yum. Not going to do that. But like, it's not fancy. And that's okay. It's okay.
And not fancy people who have shitty ass bumper stickers go there.
Go there. And eat their ketchup. And
ketchup.
What? If that's what I call their red sauce, is basically ketchup. and they enjoy themselves. They have a good old time.
Absolutely.
That's fine. Like, if you want to eat Americanized Italian food, go for it. There are more than enough options for you. But it was funny to me the how incensed people got that you would mock Olive Garden, the sacred Olive Garden. Like that is a bridge too far to, like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, why are people so upset about this? And I've seen, like, it's almost like there's, I think I may even said something about it. Like, it's like a, like, I called someone out bingo on Twitter sometimes, where like, oh, this is vaguely classist, so I'm going to cancel this person for being classist. And then I'll get like canceling someone for being classist on my Twitter bingo card or something, you know. And it's just like, or someone says like that they vaguely enjoyed Tropic Thunder 10 years ago, and they're like, I'm going to cancel this person for being racist because they liked Tropic Thunder, which, you know, that's another topic altogether. But it's just like, enjoying Tropic Thunder 10 years ago does not make one racist, I don't believe.
True.
You know,
every single movie that we liked in like the early aughts would get us canceled on Twitter today. Like, full stop. That's a thing. You could probably not show your face.
No, like,
in the world.
I will
all
admit,
of those movies were fucking awful.
They were awful. Like, Tropic Thunder was awful, but I'm just going to admit it right now. I remember crying in the theater.
Cause you were laughing so hard.
I was laughing so hard. Innocent lamb, Justin, did not know better. Yeah, I just the whole story. But then I think just generally this like whole gotcha stuff that we do to each other sometimes, like, because it wasn't just like, I mean, there were a ton of conservatives that were like, you mocked the sacred Olive Garden. But then there are other folks, you know, it's just like, come on, folks, like this is not cool. So anyway, that's just
what
my feeling about it.
We're saying here is that it's okay to be classist towards white people.
You know,
I don't think that's actually what we're saying necessarily. Yeah. Like, classism sucks. Like, I don't think Ivy League institutions should exist. They should be taken over by the people. That's just my personal opinion. And yes, I will say that as someone who grew up extremely poor and with food insecurity, my black ass family going to Olive Garden and like yelling about the sermon after church was a thing that happened. Because Olive Garden is not fancy, and that's fine.
And that's okay. It's okay.
I will say I do mock one of my sisters that Olive Garden was her favorite restaurant for many years, like a decade. Still make fun of her for that shit. Because it's,
you know,
funny.
I'm sure there was a season in my life where it was my favorite as well. You know, or it was like, this is like generic date night spot number three. Like,
aww,
you know,
that's really
like,
cute.
You
yeah.
Know, like,
totally.
I mean, people like what they like, and that's fine. But it's more like, if someone doesn't like it or doesn't think it's fancy or even makes fun of it, that doesn't make them classist or racist, ist, whatever ist it is, towards you. Let people like what they like and let people don't like what they don't like.
Yeah, totally.
It's fine.
You know what I think is classist is that every single McDonald's commercial is all people of color. There's no white folks in those commercials anymore. It's like they're trying to say a thing. Don't love it.
You've perplexed me because you're right. And I'm like, I did not notice that.
Right. That's my point. Right. Is that like, I know people can be really fucking mean on the internet, and I get that. And I respect that. And we all get in our feelings sometimes because we are robots being run by like trillions of bacteria, and that is it. So we're not rational animals is what I'm trying to say. And I think that that's okay. And I'm sorry, like, if you really are if you really are taking the stance that like saying fuck Joe Biden is like a bridge too far, so let's go Brandon is the thing that you come up with instead. Like, I have a lot of problems with you, and like zero of them have anything to do with your income.
Yeah.
Or your wealth.
Like you have basically put a giant kick me sign on your back if you think Let's Go Brandon is like a thing that should be uttered by adults.
That it's like witty, that it's interesting, that it's like, oh, it's a secret code. Nobody knows what we're talking. Like everybody knows what you're talking about. With respect, it's fucking uninteresting. And you're not an interesting person. And that's what I get out of that. A conclusion that I do not jump to when people go to Olive Garden, by the way, yeah. I will say. Yeah. It has nothing to do with your personality. Let's Go Brandon, on the other hand, absolutely does.
Yeah, but I'm going to make assumptions about you for sure.
You were asking me to know a thing about you, and that thing is not great.
My favorite thing to do, if seen done, is when someone like posts Let's Go Brandon, like someone just asks them, hey, what does that mean? They never respond. They never.
Oh, there you go.
Like, is your grandma on the internet too and going to like watch you spell out fuck? Like, and that's.
Yes.
I don't.
On Facebook.
Like, I don't.
Your grandma is on the internet.
True. True.
They're like, this is so that our elders don't see us writing the word fuck and they won't know what's going on. They're just going to be like, oh, who's Brandon?
Yeah. Who's Brandon? Oh,
who are you talking about?
Oh, let's encourage him. Like, yeah.
Is this somebody you met at church?
So mocking that as like it's code for whatever stupid thing to me is not classist or elitist. I think it's just a thing that should be done.
Frankly, if it's come out of Trump's mouth, that's your entire problem right there.
Yep. That's it. We solved the case.
There's nothing else to say.
So yeah. So don't dogpile on people for one, really ever. Like it's really not cool.
I think it's good to call people in before you call them out, like just as a general rule.
Yes. You know? Like, hey, maybe don't do that. And then, you know, like in a DM or something.
Why did you do this? I'm trying to understand because it felt kind of classist to me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ask questions.
And Cortland actually responded to the well-meaning criticism, I shouldn't say well-meaning, the like criticism from like actual people that genuinely had a question. He responded very well, but it was just like the dogpiling of like, you know, Let's Go Brandonites that were like, it's just like, first off, like none of y'all are descended from Italians, so like this ain't your culture, like for one, like it's not your culture. Anyway, just a wild world we live in. I had an attempted dogpile this week by the bearded
Theobrogen about Twitter.
You know the one. If you're listening. Oh, yeah.
The ones of the bros on Twitter with beards.
Who could not
know who specifically you were speaking of?
Yeah, I mean, and it was like a Catholic adjacent one too. And traditional Catholics on Twitter are just wild.
Oh, they're the horde.
Holy cow. If
any group of people on Twitter needs We Are Legion, it is them.
Yes.
Like they like embody that sentiment.
There is something in the host, my friends.
Yes.
Like,
ooh.
Anyway, a Theobrogen said something to the effect of Christianity being necessarily a conquering religion.
Because colonizers,
like, and that's what frustrates me about a lot of evangelicalism now is it's like, it claims this, like from the beginning, this is the Christianity of Jesus. And I'm like, well, first off, Jesus was a Jew.
So there was no Christianity of Jesus.
There was no Christianity of Jesus. He lived and died.
And details.
He lived and died a Jew. And I imagine he rose again as a Jew, you know, perfectly fine with that. But second, like it was not ever originally intended to be a religion of conquest.
A manual on how precisely to destroy your neighbors.
Yeah, to destroy your neighbors. It became that for sure. You know, and I'm not going to apologize for that. So, you know, I said something like, you know, oh, I guess you're just shilling for the Antichrist now. Of course, he blocked me. And then, of course, did the thing that they all do, which is block you and then like take pictures of your previous tweets and your profile.
Send them out to their little Twitter mob. Not mob.
Twitter mob. Yeah.
Whatever. Twitter goons. That is the word I was looking for.
The goons. And then, you know, there were some traditional Catholics involved. I mean, I ended up meeting some pretty cool people as a result of it. But yeah, this whole like mob mentality, not mob mentality. I mean, humanity has a mob mentality. That's just
because we're herd animals.
We are.
It really isn't any more complicated than that.
Yeah, we are herd animals that will like pair bond with literally anything. Like I am emotionally attached to some of my children's toys. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
we will pair bond with anything and we will fight for anything, whether it be our favorite casual restaurant or, you know, so it's
Christianity being a
religion of conquest, I'm going to make it one.
Well, yeah. And I'm like, isn't this the inherent problem you have with Islam? Like Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
People.
Exactly.
Just pick a lane and stay in it. That's literally all I am asking.
Yeah. All the other religions, when they conquer people, it's wrong. But when we conquer people, it's okay. All right.
Because God told us to.
Or like there were, I don't even want to plug these particular people, but there were some people that were fans of a particular saint that defaced a sacred European sites in the name of Jesus. And I'm like, if Muslims or pagans even rolled into a Christian site and defaced it, and, you know, God didn't strike them down because that's not what God does, and they took that as a sign that their gods were more powerful than your God, like, would you take issue with that, sir? Of course you would. Like, anyway, it's, I don't understand where people, why people, I mean, I understand why, but it is frustrating. And I also don't like it to see progressive folks kind of jump in on that too. You know, the whole Bernie bro thing and, you know, whether, you know, all Bernie bros, that's not a real thing. We don't cancel. We're not like that. Like, no, you are. Like, I have criticized Bernie Sanders on the internet. I know
things
what
will
happens.
Not go well for you.
I know what happens when you do that.
Dude, like I said something mean about I said that something that Kamala Harris said was not bright and somehow made the front page of Reddit because of that. And like, so all of the white liberals in the world decided to like accuse me of voter suppression and also told me to listen to black women. So like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think that sometimes if someone's causing like actual harm, I think that that's like a thing that you can consider calling someone in on, right? Like you don't necessarily, I think that if someone's causing actual harm, like dogpiling is sometimes an effective way to make them feel shame.
Yeah, sure.
Which I think is, you know, kind of different from canceling, and that I don't want people to like no longer want to live because there were a bunch of bullies on the internet.
Yeah.
Who are like, you are a bad person. Even if you are a bad person, I don't want you to hurt yourself. All that to say.
There is a fine nuance, but it's one of those things that was like, okay, dogpiling is something that is effective in some cases, so let's do it in all cases. Or what I find is conservatives kind of mimic those tactics, but they do it all wrong. Or they do it in the way that they do it. Like, you know, dogpiling someone on Twitter typically is like someone with a massive account and you're just flooding it to get them to take something down or to get them to like rethink something. Like, you know, that is punching up very much. But most of the dogpiling I see from, say, conservative folks, especially evangelical folks, is like someone with a massive account retweeting someone with a much smaller account and being like, go get them, boys. And that it's the same tactic, but it's like how it is applied is very different. And that's where you get people that are like, I have a couple friends now that have literally just deactivated accounts and started new ones. Like, this account is dead now. Like, it has died. I feel like we have to be more strategic than just going, you know, trying to pick people apart. And progressives, we do eat our own very quickly.
And I mean, I think that honestly, even that sort of comes from like a good place of like, we have to be 100 all the time, because anything that we do wrong, they will be obsessed with that and like ruin your life. So from that perspective, I get it. Like we just do have like, they're just higher standards among some people, depending on your political alignment. Right. And that's not like a, not trying to do like a both sides or whatever, but there are more effective ways sometimes to push back on something that was said. And I'm pretty sure I've said this on here before, but like Twitter is not an effective tool for conflict resolution. It is an effective tool for conflict creation. That is all.
It is. It's joy. It's for joy and chaos. Or I find something that amuses me, or I find something that's interesting. And sometimes someone has a good thought, but as far as like, it's 140 characters. Like you're not going to.
What could go right?
Yeah. You're limited. And yeah, what you're really going to get some nuances out of there, you know? So it is like for the quick, you know, quip or something. And that's what it is for. But the whole like, so-and-so is wrong. Here's my 40 some, you know, tweet thread. Like, write a blog post, buddy. Like,
I ain't reading that. Good for you. Or I'm sorry that happened.
I ain't reading a thread either. Like, you know, one of 48, like, first off, like, I don't know how people do this, but like, how do you know it's 48?
When you're starting,
like,
help.
How did this happen? And then like, did you chain, like do the daisy chain thing all together and then go back? And like, that's just too much commitment to a thought. Mm-hmm. I've ceased having it by that point.
Yeah, I would say a very significant number of people who enjoy Twitter specifically have ADHD, which is why it works so great for us. Yeah. Because yeah, it's joy and chaos, but not a great place to try and like hold people accountable, generally speaking. Maybe politicians, please. Politicians and pundits, like, go after those people, but I would say if it's like a person, like, maybe stop and think before you fire off a tweet. I think that's really all we're saying.
It could be just a better DM. Honestly, I've found that to be helpful. I've done this on Facebook. I don't think I've done it so much on Twitter, but if someone like yells at me on Facebook, I'm like, this would have been a better DM. This would have been better at a, unless you're wanting to perform for others.
I definitely do. Like, I won't like quote tweet trolls that I think that have like their real information and like real account. Like, you know, but if it's like you've been on Twitter for 3 weeks and you have 7 followers and you're following 1,200 people, I don't feel bad quote tweeting you just to like teach a lesson. So once again, like there's not that much thought that has to go into it, but definitely consider it. Like, I think regardless of the circumstances, like anybody under like 19, not cool. Like, do not do. I think that's really crummy to cyberbully children because it impacts their mental health so much more than it impacts ours, you know, because they just haven't had as many experiences with people being assholes. So when it feels like the entire planet is coming after you, like that's going to fuck up your brain in a very different way if you're 16 versus 36.
And follower count isn't everything. I understand, you know, for a lot of people, like building a follower count takes time, but I'm like, if you've been on this app for 6 years and you have 4 followers, you're not worth my time. Like most of the time. I just don't like you. All you do is shoot shots at people hoping to get retweeted. You know, like, I just, you're not.
Yeah.
Worth,
yeah.
Not
worth trying to make, trying to make people mad about a thing.
Yeah. It's like, you have 4 followers and you've been on here for like 5 years. Like, there's probably a reason for that.
So the tweet that I saw this week that kind of fit this pattern was essentially, it was like a person, they didn't have their real name up or a name up in like their Twitter name. The image that they had, it looked kind of, it was a black and white photo of a white woman. Again, didn't necessarily look like it belonged to the person running the account. And the tweet was basically like, why is it that we let white men get away with radicalizing women of color against us white women?
Like, with such a long pause, I'm like, I don't even know how to respond.
I know. It's like, we are all sisters. We all need to be on the same side. And I'm like, you're literally calling women of color radicals because they're mean to you on Twitter. And you're blaming white men for that because white men are the people that we are most inclined to take seriously and listen to and model our behavior on. Like, so, what so is you're happening
saying
right now?
You, white woman, are saying you have sniffed through the bullshit of white men successfully, whereas black women have not. Like, okay.
This is the patriarchy tearing us apart. It's like, you are a drama queen and you created this account 3 weeks ago.
Tori's about to teach you a lesson.
It's just like, oh boy, okay. I'm like, yeah. And then there were a lot of really good responses, but somebody pointed out, like, hey, this account has been up since July of 2022, and it is July of 2022. So they're just trying to make people mad, right? And so I really appreciated the person that bothered to go and like click on their profile and actually figure that out.
Yeah, they're just saying shit to say it.
Yeah. So then I didn't feel like I needed to respond at all. I mean, in my head, I was like, you're a bad person, but I didn't tweet it.
Yeah. If you believe that, sorry. And if you don't believe that and you just wanted attention, like, yeah, you're a bad person.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. That's fair. I can get with that.
I don't know. Be safe out there on the internet, folks. Like, and be good to yourself. This is crazy times. And typically white people are mad at very strange things sometimes. And I don't know, like,
sometimes you don't have real things to be mad at and your nervous system just feels the urge
to rage about Olive Garden or
something.
I have ranted about things that I have strong opinions about before. Sorry, this is total digression, and then we'll get to the Bible story, folks. But there was someone posted a thing about it was on a dating app or something, and they said it was like a screenshot or something, and it was in a dating app, and it was something that they said they typically ask people on dating apps, like, what is a non-controversial thing that you are like, you have a hot take about a non-controversial subject, what's your hot take? And this person, like, I mean, out of the gate was like, I believe that COVID is being spread. I think I've seen it being dumped into Lake Erie.
Like, oh my God.
Like, it was this like top tier conspiracy theory. Like, it was developed by the government. They're spreading it. I think I saw it, you know, being spread out over Lake Superior or something. I just don't have proof. Like, that is not an inconsequential hot take.
Like, oh man, that's the assignment. Really funny.
Like, yeah, but like, you don't have something genuine. Not ever. I mean, a lot of people have things genuinely to be upset about, but there's not like this systemic thing pushing you down in the same way that a lot of other people are. So you're like, COVID's being spread by chemtrails. I know, and I'm mad about it. Sign up for my newsletter.
Yeah. Instead, be mad at white supremacy and transphobia.
Yes. Don't be mad at people that are mad at white supremacy.
Hey, there you go.
Be mad.
There's an idea.
At white supremacy.
Just a thought.
Throwing it out there. All right, folks. Thank you for listening to this segment of what started as like shit white people are mad about and turned into just like Twitter best practices. But we appreciate it. And we're going to talk about Queen Vashti here after the capitalism break. So stick around.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Since 1979, TireRack.com has been helping people find the right tires for how, what, and where they drive. They sell only the best, like the full line of Kumho tires. Test results, ratings, and reviews are there to assist. Or try the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. Tires ship fast and free to you or to one of over 10,000 recommended installers. In many areas, they offer mobile tire installation. Shop Kumho tires at TireRack.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for pausing for some capitalism. I just wanted to give a shout out real quick to a new patron of ours. So this is Connor. They're joining us as a deacon and the deacon tier for our patrons. So they get access to our Discord, which is a delightful place where you can discuss episodes. You can discuss the crazy stories that you've had in evangelicalism. You can even just, post pictures of your pets and food, which is, I haven't run a Discord before, and it was mentioned to me by one of our moderators, like, hey, let's, make sure you put stuff for people to contribute that's not part of the show. I'm like, okay, food and stuff, food and pets. I was like, okay, I'll just throw this in there. It's not going to be used. No, that's a very popular channel. Everyone loves it. I love it. So it's just a fun community, and it can be a little break from the kind of wildness that can be the whole internet.
The entire internet, yes.
This is just, a corner of like-minded people, which I find very good. And also, when bad news stories break, people being able to support each other and just having a safe place to talk about that. It's been really cool. So Connor is a new part of that. If you would like to join, go to patreon.com/gohomebible. Really, it's just to help support the show. It covers a lot of our costs and other things, helps us, get new nice things to make the show a little bit better. Also, we are kind of in the middle of a patron drive right now. We are getting very, very close to our goal to get 50 patrons. When we do that, we want to have a listener hangout. We want to meet you guys in person. You guys. I was like the youth pastor for a second.
Y'all.
You guys. We want to meet y'all. And we want to, see you. And so we're going to do that in Washington, D.C. It's going to be a good time. But first, we would like to have 50 patrons. So get on that, folks, if you can. If not, share this podcast with a friend. Give us a 5-star review on wherever you're listening. And yeah, we'd greatly appreciate it. We're going to do a little bit of a series because we're trying to just be a little bit light because it's summer and it's crazy. So we're going to talk about different parties in the Bible, which I just find delightful. This was an idea that came up when we were talking. We did the one in Daniel, that wild party. And now we're going to do a party with the king of Persia and Queen Vashti and, what they got up to. So, Tori, do we have a drinking game for this party? To inspire people to party?
I would say anytime we are talking about a party that gets turned all the way up to nudity, you could take a drink. Because that's maybe kind of what this story is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this whole first chapter, shit's going down. I'm not saying it's good shit, but it is going down.
It's going down.
It's also really funny. The Bible puts sometimes a lot of effort into describing parties.
True. This party went overboard. If you want tips on how to decorate for a party,
the Old Testament has got you covered.
Yeah. And Esther chapter 1 goes into great detail of the drapery and what is going on and the food they're having. And then every time they consult somebody, it's like a council of people. And they're all named. It's kind of wild. So I can go ahead. I'll go ahead and tell a bit of the story. And then we can kind of chime in as we need to. This is in the book of Esther, which is mostly known for a problematic beauty pageant, which we will cover at some point. Sorry, I'm just laughing about the whole thing. So, but we're just going to focus on chapter 1 because this is the party. This is the party of parties thrown by the King of Kings. And so this is this is chapter 1. In the days of, Tori and I were texting each other. We don't know how to pronounce this.
Ahasuerus. Is how it was pronounced to me as a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Or Xerxes.
Right. It's Artaxes or Xerxes or Ahasuerus.
Yeah. I think this is the Bible's way of saying we made this shit up.
I don't know.
And choose your own adventure. So, and he ruled a lot of shit all the way from India to Ethiopia. He ruled all the things. And he sat on a royal throne and he's like, you know what? I'm going to have me a party. I'm going to display all my riches. I'm going to just lay it all out there for 180 days. these Jews that we have captured, they have their 8 crazy nights. We need to have our 180 Persian days. So
it's just for 6 months.
Yes.
Why? I just Yeah. Once again,
they partied hard.
So hard.
And then they had a side 7-day banquet in the middle of this. Like, okay, all these people are partying hard. We're going to have our own VIP party. We're going to go up to the VIP booth and we're going to party even harder for 7 days.
This was the after party.
This is the after party. After 180 days, we're going to have a 7-day rager.
There's like a week long after party.
And at this point, I'm proud of them. Like, good for you. If I could go back in time, I would certainly want to be part of one of these crazy Persian.
I would want to drop in for sure. Yeah.
I would prefer me to be a younger version of myself going into of these ragers.
But I cannot hang. This has been articulated.
Yes. 25-year-old Justin would really love to go. Anyway, so and then they describe the furnishings. It's white linen, a blue curtain sung by cords of even more linen and purple wool and silver and alabaster. I mean, this is like really setting the mood here. This is very lavish. There were no restrictions on drinking. The king instructed all of his supervisors that they should do as everyone desired. That is what my version said. That they should do as everyone so desired.
This is okay.
So this is according to the desire of man and man.
Whoa, like, okay. Like this, interesting.
There's a footnote that says like,
we don't know what this means.
Yeah, the Hebrew is the desires of man and man. So put that in your cap. I don't often learn things like while we're still live, but I was like, interesting.
Fancy, because Queen Vashti was having her own little party,
her own little party, her own. So
there was no one else there. It was just the dudes.
It was just the dudes drinking as much as they wanted. So on the seventh day, I love how King Ahasuerus, he only gets this drunk on the seventh day.
Like, this has been 187 days, motherfucker. Yes. What is happening?
And now they're like now he's feeling the effects
now
of the
shit
wine.
Is going down. I think wine was code for like other substances, but that's just
perhaps. And I will say too, the denomination I was a part of, the university I was a part of, was a teetotaling denomination, and they would make a big deal about how, like, you know, drinking water was not good, and so people would, you know,
drinking water back then, yes,
and so people would drink wine, which is true, but this but it wasn't very strong. It's like, no, like they knew how to make real strong drink. They knew how to do that. It wasn't like whiskey, but they could make 15% and 20% alcohols quite easily. So anyway, so he was feeling the effects of the wine, and he ordered his eunuchs, all of them who are named
Mehuman.
I know that's what it is, but I want to say Mehuman.
Mehuman.
Mehuman, my eunuch, come forth. Bizta, Habonga. I'm not even
Habonga. Mine says Harbona.
Why did I say Harbonga?
Oh, this is great. We have completely different names.
Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass. Carcass.
Tag yourself. I'm Carcass.
Yeah. These are like their nicknames. These are like their rager nicknames. We got Carcass over here, and Bazanga, and Biftu.
Anyway, oh no.
They weren't eunuchs when we started, but they're eunuchs now, man.
Poor babies.
So he ordered them to bring Queen Vashti into the king's presence wearing her high royal turban. I think it was high royal turban, and that's it.
And that's it. I have royal crown, but yeah. Turban makes more sense given that
turban.
This is Persia.
Yeah. And he wanted to show people in the officials her beauty, for she was very attractive. But Queen Vashti refused.
That's like such a okay. Can I just pause right there? Because like that's such a badass line.
Yes.
Like there just aren't a lot of lines in the Bible about a woman refusing to do a thing that a man has told her to do.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this because, you know, we read through the Bible every year because we were better than most Christians. And it's like this story was funny because, like, not funny, but like the perspective on it was just like, well, she disobeyed the queen. She disobeyed the king. She didn't do what she was told. She was supposed to, you know, whatever, whatever. And she didn't show up. So like, that's a valid reason for her to be disposed of. I'm just saying it was from a really anti-feminist lens that this was being read to us as children.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember, I think it was in a book, like some marriage book by Marky Mark, that where he went through this whole story and was like, this is why she was punished, because she didn't bow to the king, you know? And this is why Esther was praised, because she bowed to the king, even though Esther later in the book does still defy the king in a smaller way. It's a different way, maybe more subversive, but there is quite a bit of king defying going on in the book of Esther. So, and we don't know why. It's assumed that because, you know, she probably just didn't want to be degraded and humiliated in front of all the guests. You know,
she clearly wasn't an exhibitionist.
Yeah.
So.
And we're pro sex work. We're pro nudity on this podcast, but we're also like pro consent. And if you don't want to do that,
that's true.
Do as Queen Vashti did and refuse.
She's like, no, I'm not doing this. And I'm like, I'm just waiting for somebody to ask me. Like, we have very different opinions on this, Vashti. That's fine. I'm just saying.
I mean, she could have been doing this for 180 days already.
That's true.
She could just be tired.
Also, can't you just be like, I'm on my period? But I don't know. Maybe she was like pregnant, or maybe she didn't have a period. I don't know. That's just like, usually that's a lady thing that you can do. Just be like, I can't go out there naked, obviously.
Yeah. There's been some speculation as to why she didn't want to go out. The consensus, I think, in like Jewish midrash and things is that, you know, it was because she was going to go out naked and she didn't want to expose herself in that way or be humiliated in that way. There's also some people that say like it's possible that like to display her beauty meant like to kind of put her up for auction kind of thing. Mm. It's all speculation because this is not in the text. There are some other people that have speculated, and which I find fun. Some of them are wish that she had contracted leprosy at some point and didn't want to appear. That's one of them. Another states, this was from something that the angel Gabriel did something to her, like fixed a tail upon her and she didn't want to appear.
Angels,
just
what
throwing,
the fuck is happening?
Just throwing tails around. Yeah, this was in a commentary, the Oxford Companion to the Bible. There's also some speculation that there's like this holidays in history book that said that to fix a tail upon somebody could also be a euphemism for like spontaneous transformation from like female to male. So like she grew a penis, or maybe she always had one. Perhaps she was trans. And just she didn't want to go out. But it's also like, that's really strange, because why would a Persian king want to display his, I assume, feminine wife's beauty if she was trans? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know opinions of trans folks in Persia. So it could have actually
at the time.
It could have been actually a very beautiful thing for Persians. Well, I don't know what their views were.
I feel like historically something that comes up a lot is that like having any kind of like body configuration that was considered abnormal or unusual was actually something that was considered a good thing in many, many cultures across, you know, thousands of years. And obviously like trans people have always existed. So there's that too. Yeah. This is really, I did not realize how much this got into like gender politics.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. And so
they didn't
teach
us this.
I mean, it's a possible reading that Vashti was trans. And if that delights you or encourages you, I think that's a possible reading.
I mean, I have to be honest, given all the eunuchs that are walking around, it seems like there's at least a 50% chance that this is what was happening.
True. You know, there were
a lot of people with, you know, who had certain kinds of body modification surgery, consensually and not.
Yes. And yeah, body modification was quite common in the ancient world. And like for the gods, like there was a goddess, Cybele, who was a goddess of like the harvest and things. And this is a Greek god. And there's accounts of thousands of men sometimes in these spring festivals. Now, whether it was actually thousands or just a lot, even if it's a dozen every year, I think it's a lot, giving their all to Qibla and making themselves like the goddess by, you know, like getting rid of everything. And so that's rather common in the ancient world. Also, I just want to say eunuchs were not always men who had removed their genitalia in some way. You know, Jesus actually talks about people who are born eunuchs. That's a euphemism most likely for gay men. So there's not
like intersex people
or intersex folks, people that do not have attractions that were deemed quote unquote normal in that time. And just to note, Jesus talks about that in the context of these people will also inherit the kingdom. So if you're not affirming what very little Jesus says about being affirming, which is next to nothing because he was a first century Jew, but where he does get like shockingly close as well. So anyway, so eunuchs were a class of people that were just, I'll say, and I don't mean this to be offensive, but I just kind of like to lump it all together, sexual oddities. However that is defined.
Like they, like, and I think that makes, like, I don't know, like in terms of language, like it's not like, oh, this is super flattering language, but at the time potentially could have been a very flattering thing to be considered that way, yeah, as we've been saying. So I don't, you know, I don't think that that's inherently a bad thing the way that it so often is, like culturally, it's like a considered a very terrible thing in US culture right now to like present in any way that is like different or not considered normal. And like cis people have gender affirming body surgery, like bottom surgery every day in this country. Nobody gives a fuck because it's like something that we care about a lot is like presenting a certain way. So yeah, I think again, in some ways, like people just don't change.
I mean, and again, these are people that were, you know, these eunuchs were close to the king. Like they were high advisors. They had a good station in this world. I mean, it was not.
Yeah, like higher standard of living than pretty much anyone else on the planet.
Probably. Yeah, like if it would actually probably be better to be a eunuch in the ancient Near East than today. Or presenting as sexually different than, what is considered, air quotes, normal. Anyway, that was a fun side trail. But Vashti, for whatever reason, refused. So like, and so the king gets a big mad, like a rage consumed him, as you do. How dare she? So, but what I think it's funny, it's like, he doesn't know what to do. So he inquires all of his wise men and discerners and all the, like the tarot readers and whatever of the time. Like, can you read my chart to figure out what to do?
I mean, in fairness, this man has been high as fuck for half a year. So, I mean, you know, there's going to be some neurons that are breaking down at that point. I'm sorry, like, be kind to yourself and also have fun. But like, that's what happens after 6 months of going hard nonstop.
Yeah. And so And among those are another list of nicknames, Garshima and Shithar. And I can't even do it. Memris and Memucan.
Memucan.
I don't know. Someone who actually speaks Persian is probably shaking their fist at us right now. But anyway, people whose names are in here for a reason. So they got together and they tried to figure out, okay, well, what's going on? The king says, you know, by law, you know, what should be done? She has not obeyed the instructions that King Ahasuerus conveyed through the eunuchs. So Memucan then replied, the king, you know, the wrong Vashti has done is not just against the king. Basically, she's committed a crime against all of us.
All men.
Like, and like, I won't read the whole thing, but it's like, basically, like, if she can refuse you, all the women can refuse us. So she should be punished.
I love that, like, at the end, it's like, there will be no end of the disrespect and discord.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Calm down.
like for the good of society.
The other women are going to hear about this.
Yeah.
You don't punish her. The girls are going to find out. And then none of them are going to listen to us. Things are very fraught at home for this man, clearly.
Yeah. Memucan's
he is
like,
concerned.
I don't want to go home. I've been at this rager. So So anyway, you know, from the, you know, so the society is in trouble. And I think that the big tagline is, you know, Vashti may not come in the presence of the king. You know, the king convey her royalty to another. The king must convey her royalty to another, or her station to another, who is more deserving than she, which is foreshadowing of Esther. And let the king's decisions, and, you know, so it's like, so we need to give it to someone who's more deserving. So then an edict was put out.
By which they mean more compliant.
More, yes, exactly. To send letters throughout the provinces, everyone according to their, you know, like, we're going to translate into this in multiple language, that every man should be ruling his family and should be speaking, you know, like, every man should be the ruler of the family.
We're going to all the women will respect their husbands.
Yes. And Queen Vashti just kind of fades. Well, I wouldn't say she fades from history. She fades from the book. Whether she was a real person or not is up for debate.
Ahasuerus.
Yeah.
That should be a dinosaur name. If I ever discover a dinosaur that has not yet been discovered, that is what I'm going to name it.
The Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus. The Ahasuerus Rex. Yeah, so weird story. Again, like, it's just party times. All the time in these
all
places.
All the time. Party times all the time.
I mean, I'm for it.
Same. I also have, I don't know, like, this is, again, like, this is just me, and, like, obviously consent is more important than, like, circumstances or, like, peer pressure or whatever. But I'm like, there were clearly other naked people there. You guys, it's been 6 months. Like, there are not a lot of... It's Persia. There are not a lot of clothes going on. I'm sorry. There just aren't.
Yeah.
So, it to me, it maybe makes more sense that there was, like, something that she, like, felt ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't... Like, nudity just was not considered the... I mean, there was just no... Yeah. None of this, like, puritanical nonsense around bodies and... Or rather... Nudity was not conflated with sexuality the way that it is now in our culture.
Yeah, nudity was just like, you're, you know, people are naked. It's fine. As
people have bodies. How
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, how gross. Yeah, yeah. Regardless, she was just like, I mean, I could have, honestly, it could have been like, because it was the seventh day, she might have been called out every other day. And this was the day she was just like, nah,
nope.
Nah, buddy, I'm tired.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, for I mean, yeah, she could have been on her period. That could have been another, like, sorry, not doing it.
Completely valid. Any reason that you have to say no is a valid reason.
Yeah. If you want to say no, just because you want to say no, valid. And so I think it's interesting that I like that feminist scholars and feminist theologians have really taken up Vashti's cause in a lot of ways and made the story about her in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, this is about refusal, and this is about being cast out for refusal, and this is about the fragility of men. And I can say that because I am a man, and we can be fucking fragile. Like, she said no. What do I do? Like, I just imagine the scene, like, where, like, the eunuchs come back and he's like, she said no. Like, I'm being oppressed. like, you know,
what happens?
Is this what oppression feels like? You know, like, just this, like, shock that the world just doesn't go your way suddenly. And I think that, to me, that makes the story compelling and interesting as a human narrative, as a, and I think even setting up Esther in that way, but also making her not entirely subservient. She starts out that way. But if, as the story goes on, and we'll cover it more in depth, she does start to become subversive towards the king, where she does things that, you know, you're not supposed to do as the queen.
That you're not supposed to do as anybody.
As anybody. Like, she just, like, shows up. It's like, hey, king, I have a request that you're not supposed to do. So, and I don't know what can be gleaned from that as far as, like, how to be subversive in ways that are effective versus not, maybe.
Versus just, like, saying no, fuck that shit, you know. I think that there's definitely some like room for thought there, you know, to kind of kick this idea around. And I think it's pretty cool, honestly. I also, I mean, it's fucking hysterical that all of these dudes are like, if you let this stand, my wife is going to kill me. So you need to shut this down right now. It's like, buddy, you haven't seen your wife in a year.
Yeah. And you're so drunk, you wouldn't recognize her anyway.
Totally. She's like had twins and like gone, just gone back to school. Everything is just like completely, it's like, you just peaced out, bro. Like you need to, you're not in charge here. I'm sorry. You're not.
Yeah. And I mean, these are human stories. Like, I mean, you see this now, like, I mean, during the various feminist movements in the United States, like what was the argument? This is going to be the breakdown of the family and men more or less asking like, what can we do now? Like if women can do everything, what's there for us to do? That Tucker Carlson ball sun tanning documentary or whatever it was, like it was like titled The End of Men. Like men will be over because of women. I don't know. Like,
like wait. Okay. Oh God. Okay.
Yeah.
Because of all of the other time that women have exterminated men throughout history, this is a very serious problem. You guys, I don't think you understand the seriousness of what could potentially happen here.
Yeah. Or maybe he's deeply concerned. Yeah. I don't know. Tucker Carlson's weird.
The men are secretly being exterminated.
Yeah. Like, come on. Like, I don't understand. It's fear is what it is. It's fear, yeah. About, and I do losing understand
control.
I don't want to entirely, cause I mean, we could slip into classism and be like, you know, like we don't need manual labor anymore. We don't need da 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 da. You know, I do have compassion and I do have empathy for typically poor, typically white, you know, men whose jobs are being displaced, they're being moved. You know, the economy shits on everybody.
Yeah.
And but poor rural communities get shit on a lot. So I can understand the grievance, and I can understand maybe even latching on to, like, you know, especially when Fox News has it on blast that, you know, this isn't politics. This is, you know, feminism, you know, they're trying to like make you less of a man and destroy the dignity of your manly work. You know, it's like, no, it's yeah, like,
women are responsible for shipping your job overseas, bro.
Yeah. But like, and it sounds ridiculous, but like when you can stoke grievance towards like somebody, whether it's someone's gender identity, whether it's, you know, someone's, you know, not conforming gender identity, whether it's someone's color, religion, whatever political affiliation, if you can stoke grievance, then people focus on that and not the real problem. Because real problems are more nuanced than our ape mm-hmm. brains readily grasp.
Right.
Like that's, you know, it is a lot easier, and it's sad. It is a lot easier for me to go like that color of person equals bad.
Right.
Like the ape brain is much, it's that translates a lot easier than the sociopolitical context with which I find myself, you know, like that's a lot of brain cells got to fire to diagnose a problem correctly and then to organize around fixing that problem. If I can just hate queer people or hate women or whatever, that's a lot easier and it makes me feel powerful. And that's terrible. I'm not like defending it or anything. I can see,
that's how
I see the psychology
a lot. And yeah, a lot of the time.
And I can be proud of the Bible in some ways for naming that, even in a problematic book that is very sexist in its presentation, I can also go like, good on you, Bible, for like making fun of this phenomenon of like, if women don't comply, we're fucked. Like, what do we do, men? Let's make a law.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
So are you going to get a Vashti tattoo, Tori?
You know, I really hate that, like, you figured that out. I was sitting here thinking about that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you were actively contemplating it. I just figured
I wasn't until we started talking about it. And then I was like, I need to do something about this.
Yeah.
So I will let you know once I come up with something.
She's a badass. Anything else you want to add to this delightful tale?
Yeah. Consent. The end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that matters.
Yep. I would agree. Now for my favorite question, you know, it's coming. You knew it was coming.
Mm.
We're talking about a gorgeous hot woman.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you cast for the role of Queen Vashti?
Oh, God. Every single time this happens, and then it's like...
Tessa Thompson.
That's not really like where my brain initially sort of goes with that. The ADHD response of like, what's your favorite song? I can't think of a single. Yeah. I can't think of a single song that exists in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Like, happy birthday.
That is a real thing.
Oh, it's just like, oh, I'll see somebody's face. And it's just like, well, I'm never going to find out who that is. Oh, man. Okay. Hold on. Maybe it'll come to me. Just a sec.
Okay. I would say Rosario Dawson.
That's literally like the first thing that came to mind. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's delightful. I feel like she can embody that energy quite well. It's a small part, but I think she has the gravitas.
But it's important.
And she's gorgeous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that. King Xerxes, I cast King Xerxes as Oscar Isaac in that role.
Every time.
Because I feel a way about his beard in Dune. And I cannot not see a Persian king.
Oh, when I think goodness. Of him. Oh, my goodness. So funny. See, every time I think of Xerxes, I just think of 300. My brain breaks, and that's all there is.
That's true.
It's like, you are 8 feet tall and sound like 100 rivers.
Yes. And weirdly like androgynous and like attractive and repulsive at the same time.
All together, all rolled into one.
Yeah, Xerxes in 300 is like a thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is like
he's a god. He's a god.
He's a god. Like, yes.
He's a god. So whoever that actor is reprised the role of Xerxes.
Oh boy. Yeah. I don't know. Like that's kind of I know Oscar Isaac is like a nicer image in my head, but I don't think that I'm gonna be on my fucking deathbed being like, what did Xerxes look like?
That'll be it. You'll just think of the 300 guy. Total tangent, but like I do have like certain memories that I'm afraid are going to be my last memory.
Oh,
like
always.
The last thing I think about, it was when I lived in Denver. There was a squirrel that, like, you know, these squirrels were like digging the dumpsters and stuff. Okay. And the squirrel came out of the dumpster with like double fisting someone's leftover chicken wings and was like eating these chicken wings. And like the idea of a carnivorous squirrel just hadn't crossed my mind.
Oh my gosh.
And like, it is a nightmarish memory. And I'm like, I do worry, like this will be what I worry about. So yeah, I do worry.
Carnivorous squirrels.
I do worry that that's going to be the last thing I think about.
Well, you know what? What are you going to do?
Exactly. I'm just going to ride that memory down.
Uh-huh.
To wherever happens next.
Yep. Completely.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of Go Home Bible You're Drunk. If you want to catch more of our antics, you can follow us on social media on Twitter or Instagram at Go Home Bible. I am on Twitter at Justin D. Gentry. Tori is on Twitter at Tori Glass. You can follow us for just the further antics or other projects that we do. We'd love to connect with you that way. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you around.
Bye.